Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Some of my fondest memories as a child are my mother taking me to Girl Scouts. It's funny how certain things stick out over others. I don't remember the cookies, but I remember my mom putting the badges on my uniform. I'm not sure if specific things stick in my memories more than others because I lost my mother, and this was one of the main activities we did together, or if it was my passion and eagerness for learning as a young girl. Either way, the Girl Scouts has always been a big part of my life. Into adulthood, I have been a consistent volunteer, even though I have not yet been blessed with children of my own to share these experiences with. The story I'm sharing with you all today is one that I haven't ever put down on paper, and so please bear with me while I do my best to tell you it. It was one of the annual camping trips for the troop where we would have food, activities, hiking, and a number of other things to keep the girls occupied. I always helped with food and some of the arts and craft type of activities. I would use my own money to purchase snacks and approved food items and try to research something fun for the kids to do if they didn't want to participate in some of the more woodsy options. When I was younger, I always felt out of place and would have preferred something more art-centric to make me feel more comfortable and ease into the trip. This trip started just like any other. The leaders of the excursion were mostly comprised of mothers of the children and other volunteers like myself. One of the first things we did with the morning daylight was a hike. We always started off these trips with a hike, and one, because the kids were super excited, and this would allow them to see their surroundings, and two, we knew that it would most likely make them tired for later, which would hopefully amount to a good night's sleep. The start of this hike was no different from any of the others. It was standard and safe, which is exactly what you would want for a trip like this. There was buzzing from the children's excitement, but suddenly I felt everything go really quiet. I felt like my sinuses and ears were plugged and all I could hear was buzzing. After a few seconds, I came to and looked around to take an inventory of the girls, and that's when I noticed that Cindy was missing. I walked briskly to the line of children looking for Cindy, but don't see her anywhere. Trying not to cause too much panic or concern, I start calling her name and walking even further forward to see if she had wandered up with another group. I bumped into one of the mothers and asked if she had seen Cindy. She must have seen the fear in my eyes because as she said no, she immediately walked back with me and began calling Cindy's name. It had been a few minutes now and we had alerted everyone walking to stay still as we did an inventory to find Cindy and see if anyone else was missing.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
I estimate about 5 minutes had elapsed and real, genuine terror was beginning to set in. We were considering contacting the authorities to say that a child was missing. And just as we were getting ready to call, we found Cindy, nonchalantly walking a little bit off the trail in the woods. I ran over to her to see if she was okay, and she seemed completely fine. I took inventory of her and she looked okay and didn't seem scared, startled, or even a bit out of place. I held her hand and a few people yelled to all the girls to stay in a single file line and not wander off as we proceeded back to camp. Now Cindy was normally the shy, quiet type. She was humming and making a lot of conversation with me, which was completely out of character for her. I playfully asked her what put her in such a good mood and she said, "The friend I made in the woods. They warned me about the man in that red cave." I paused. Really confused, I asked, "What do you mean, who did you meet in the woods? Did anyone touch you? Did they hurt you?" She just kept looking at me with this really strange smile, saying that she had made a new friend and that they were nice and wouldn't hurt her. Everything always went back to staying away from that man in the red cave. At this point, I was getting goosebumps, prickles on my neck. I don't remember what else I asked or her exact responses. I was just making sure that she was okay and hadn't really encountered someone in the woods that would put her or others in danger. I started to think to myself, had she really seen something or was her imagination just running wild with the intrigue of the limitless woods around us? I had trouble getting comfortable that night, falling in and out of restless sleep, thinking about some man in a red cave. Nothing of further incident happened that weekend, thankfully, and everyone went home safe and happy. I had eventually put the experience deep out of my mind to where it had been years since I had thought about it, and that was until we returned to that same forest to do another camping retreat. Initially, I didn't remember until a night when I was sitting outside again having trouble sleeping, and I saw a little girl getting up. I asked if she was okay and if she needed to go to the bathroom or needed help with anything. She said she was fine and was just having trouble sleeping. I told her that I too had trouble sleeping and sometimes it's difficult to get rest when we aren't at home in our own beds. She said that that wasn't the problem. She said she was having bad dreams. She said her friend kept waking her up to tell her that she needed to go see the man in the red cave. And my heart sank. I actually temporarily lost hearing in that moment, and I asked her, "Who's the friend asking you to go to the red cave?" And she couldn't articulate, so it was hard to discern if it was someone in the tent waking her up and telling her, or if she was really just having a bad dream. But hearing about the man in the red cave again, after all these years, that couldn't have been coincidence. I put the girl to bed and told her to let me know if she was woken up again. I didn't hear from her for the rest of the night. I also didn't sleep at all that night, not even 5 minutes. I went home the next day and I have never returned to that spot again.
Hey guys, thanks so much for all the support. If you haven't subscribed to the channel yet, please feel free to do so.
I'm part of a volunteer search and rescue organization, and every year, our group takes part in a late summer retreat full of team building and bonding exercises. One of these exercises involves night training, which, as you can probably imagine, involves practicing our search and rescue skills after dark. My specific job title is SNR K9 Handler, which sort of encompasses why I joined in the first place. I always wanted to work with animals, I just never had the grades to study to be a vet. And so joining as a dog handler meant the best of both worlds. I could do something constructive and contributive with my spare time, all the while playing with dogs. I use the word play very loosely there, but you get the idea. Anyway, we were out on night exercises when my dog, who is trained to find human remains, started to alert us to a scent. I was partnered with a more senior member of the team at the time, but when I looked to them for some guidance, she basically said, "Let's just go with it." Now, I'm sure a lot of you are thinking, your dog picked up the scent of human remains. Why weren't you freaking out? Well, the answer to that is simple. Even the most highly trained cadaver dog gets things wrong sometimes, and in a place like Washington, where we get California's annual rainfall on a Tuesday, damp scents can often confuse HRD or human remain detection dogs. So, when my dog started to alert, our policy was basically just let him do his thing. Because best case scenario is a false positive, and the very worst case scenario, we find some previously unearthed human remains. Which, as horrifying as that'd be, was obviously a major part of our job. So the senior team member and I agreed to part ways temporarily. She'd wait on the trail, while my dog and I went off to follow the scent that he'd picked up. Since we both figured it was just a false positive, it would only be a matter of minutes before my dog lost the scent, and then we'd be back on the trail and on our planned route before we knew it. But then, a few minutes turned into like 10 minutes of walking through the dark woods, and then after my dog started to lead me down a fairly steep slope, I lost my footing and took a really nasty fall. The next thing I know, my chest is on fire, probably from the 2 broken ribs that I just sustained, and I could feel blood oozing from where I'd bashed my head on a rock on the way down. The first thing I did was press the emergency alert on my GPS, which signals base camp that one of the team needs assistance. The second thing I did was start calling out for my dog because I'd lost control of his leash during the fall, which I think scared him so bad that he ran off or something. That, or he just mindlessly followed the scent trail thinking that I was still following close behind. As you can probably figure, I was not feeling like my best self. I was in agony, I was confused, and having dropped my flashlight as well as the leash during the fall down the slope, I couldn't see very well either. I just lay there, calling out for Brody, hoping that base camp had someone closing in on my position so I could get to the damned hospital already. I don't know exactly how long I was lying there before someone showed up, but when I heard footsteps getting closer and closer, I felt this wave of relief washing over me. I started to call out something like, "I'm here, I think I broke something," assuming it was a fellow SNR volunteer, but the second I heard their voice, I knew that they weren't with our group. Like I said, we did all kinds of icebreakers and bonding exercises, as every year there tends to be a couple of new volunteers.
Why have we asked our contractor we found on Angie.com to be our kid's legal guardian? Because he took such good care when redoing our basement that we knew we could trust him to care for our kids, all 8 of them, should something happen to us.
Are you my dad now?
No, sorry, I do basements.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
But the voice I heard that night didn't belong to a long-term team member. And it didn't belong to the new girl or new guy either, as we only had 2 new faces on the team that year. It was a man's voice. And when they started talking instead of directly helping me, I swear, it sent this chill of fright running right through me. The voice most definitely belonged to a man, and they started talking about how I was in a dry creek bed, one that dozens of people fall into every year. He went on to say that at least one person dies there every year thanks to the flash floods the place sees during the rainy season. Someone falls, they get stuck, and then they drown. I went from asking for help to literally begging for it, but the guy just completely ignored my requests and carried on giving his little speech about how often folks go missing or lose their lives out in that area of the woods. I remember losing my temper and asking what the hell was wrong with him. And when he replied with something like, "You're not in a position to talk to me like that," I started to scream. Not wild screams of fright, but help. Somebody help, over and over, while I tried and failed to reach for my flashlight. I also cannot overstate how goddamn painful that was, having to scream when doing so made the burning pain in my chest feel so much worse. And around about that time, I started to hear my dog Brody calling out for me. He's part Australian Shepherd and he's a very vocal dog, so I started to hear a series of awoos, trills, and rolled barks, all of which tended to mean, "Hurry your butt up, human." As soon as Brody started making those noises, the shadowy figure stopped talking. And then as we both started to hear the sound of Brody getting closer and closer, I heard that guy's footsteps as he made a hasty retreat. I think maybe a minute or two later I start hearing more footsteps, only they're from multiple people that time, and they came with flashlights. I call out for help one more time, and the next thing I know, two of my fellow volunteers are walking up the creek bed, and one shines their flashlight right on me. My first thought was to tell them about the guy that had just been talking to me, the one that had talked about the accidental deaths in a way that made me think that they weren't so accidental. I know that might sound kind of crazy, but the way he talked about them, like those deaths made him happy, it was one of the creepiest encounters of my entire life. So yeah, I told my two rescuers about the stranger, and one of the first things they did before administering first aid was to make sure that he was actually gone. One guy shone his flashlight all around while the other started asking me, "Were you pushed?" And both later said that they were scared that that creepy guy had been the cause of my injuries, hence one asked if I was pushed or not and then asked if I was sure about that when I said no. But don't get me wrong, I was terrified that he was about to do something, especially since I was basically incapable of getting away from him, but he didn't cause me to slip, he was just there to see it, or maybe hear it. But that obviously raises the question of, what the hell was he doing out there in the first place? My two teammates then kept me company until the medics showed up with an ATV and a backboard that they could attach a stretcher to. I was then slowly driven back to base camp, given a quick look over, and then we headed over to a very rural medical clinic once we figured out my ribs were broken. Once I'd been given some pain medication and the doctors told my team leaders I was stable, everyone breathed a sigh of relief and a bunch of my fellow volunteers came to visit me in the morning to see how I was doing. And that's when I finally got a chance to tell everyone about the guy that had showed up in the minutes after my fall, and how his warnings sounded an awful lot like thinly veiled threats. About a week later, after I'd been discharged from the hospital and I was safely back at home, I got a call from that same senior team member that I'd been with before my fall. She asked how I was doing, how my recovery was progressing and stuff like that. And she then told me that the team leaders were discussing a change of locations for the following year's retreat. A couple of other team members had reported someone walking around in the dark, someone who definitely wasn't a volunteer, and that after talking it over, they decided that safety was paramount and that they'd be looking at alternative locations. In the words of one team leader, a second run-in with that creepy, shadowy stranger was not something they were willing to risk.
Every year, we go hunting up in Millerville, Alabama, where my in-laws have a cabin. I come from New Hampshire and spend most of my time outdoors in the woods growing up, and I don't scare easily. However, I don't know what it is, but those early morning and after dark walks to and from the hunting stands in the Alabama woods scare the daylights out of me. There's something different about the woods there that I can't put my finger on. I just kind of always felt uneasy. So this one area that we hunt has an old abandoned house on it. My brother-in-law told me that it was the old Alexander place. He said when he was very little, he remembered going there with his dad. I guess they all got to go drinking and old man Alexander pulled out a gun and just shot himself through his foot for no reason other than he was absolutely crazy, I guess. My father and brother-in-law booked it out of there. And so, my first trip hunting up there, he showed me the hole in the floor. I guess about 15 or so years later, old man Alexander dies. His kids didn't want anything to do with him, so he died out there all alone. In fact, they didn't find his body for a couple of months because no one ever even checked in on him. Apparently, he got dressed in a Sunday best, laid down in his bed, and pulled the trigger. 1 year after that, I got out of my stand from my morning hunt, and I decided to make a pit stop over at the old Alexander place. The trail to my stand runs along a creek bottom and is about 3 miles from the hardtop, about 2 miles from the hardtop on the same trail as the intersection that leads to Alexander's place. It goes for a good mile and is completely overgrown with just enough room to go through with my Honda. Started to get creepy down there when the house finally comes into view. Now, I know it's been about 5 or 6 years since I've been there, but the place was decaying fast. I forgot how spooky it was down there. The place is in the bottom of a hollow, all overgrown, extremely dark. The house was covered in kudzu, and a big tree had fallen and caved in a large portion of the roof. I shut off my four-wheeler, and right away, I'm freaked out by the complete and total lack of noise. No birds, no chipmunks, nothing. Not a sound.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here. And if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At ChumbaCasino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
I get to the front door and open it up. The floor is covered in leaves and pine needles from the hole in the roof. It's dark, dank, and musty, and smells a little of rotting flesh. I reason to myself that there's probably a dead animal under the house, or something, and continue about. This house is pretty small, with one room for the kitchen and living room, and a single bedroom and bathroom off to one side. Now, at this point, my mind is telling me to just get out of there. But my sense of exploration wouldn't listen to reason. I started poking around. And I'm amazed, because everything seemed to be just as old Alexander had left it. Granted, he'd been gone many years and things were rotting away. But it looked like it hadn't been touched. I started to wonder about what he did to make his family just straight up abandon him to the point that they didn't even come around to scavenge for things to sell, just left him to decompose, and then found him and abandoned the house afterwards. Now, you have to understand something about me. I've been an antique collector for years, and in particular, I collect old pictures and period frames. As I look around me, I see beautiful old family pictures set in very ornate original wooden frames. Three of them are in the bedroom and in perfect condition. The others are in the living room, where the tree crashed through the roof. Those portraits were ruined, but the frames were still intact for the most part. So for the next hour, I started digging through the paperwork, reading letters, looking at closets, and such like that. I'm totally engrossed and almost unaware of everything around me. I end up looking in his bedroom, looking under the bed, and I pull out an old box of letters that old man Alexander wrote to his wife during the war. I sit down on the old mattress and start reading for about half an hour, I guess. I'm halfway through this one letter, and bang, the loud echo of a gun goes off. and it sounded like it was right in the room with me. I could even feel the concussion. It was so close. Now, if anyone has ever heard the effects of a gunshot in the house, then they know that there's a big difference between in the house and right outside the house. And this was definitely in the house. And it felt like it was in the bedroom that I was in. I pretty much froze for a couple of seconds, and actually slightly peed myself. At first, I didn't know if it was my brother-in-law messing with me, or some crazy mountain man shooting wildly. My rifle was in my car outside. So if that second part was the case, I was screwed. I took a decisive course of action and ran out of there. I jumped in my Honda and white-knuckled that sucker all the way back to the cabin. I got there and told him the whole story. Of course, they immediately wanted to go back there and check it out. So we all drove back there and had a good look around. But there was nothing to be seen anywhere, and went back inside with my brother-in-law as we were standing in the bedroom. He said it was probably the ghost of old man Alexander, either replaying his fate or warning me to get out. I ended up taking all the pictures with me. I refinished 5 of them and put old family pictures of my own in them and hung them on the walls of our farmhouse. I didn't destroy any of the original Alexander portraits, out of respect, and stored them in my den. The last portrait is of old Alexander himself, in an ornate and convex glass frame, and it hangs intact in my foyer. It may sound kind of creepy to you, but it felt right to me. I think he may approve as well. I haven't been back there since that day, and I never will. But every time I get out of my stand after dark and ride my four-wheeler past the Alexander intersection, I put the high beams on and pin it all the way back to the cabin.
Now, I have a story to share that has really traumatized me for quite a while now, and I feel this is a good place to share it. So I'm from New Zealand, and over there we have the odd missing person or scary murder case, but it's otherwise safe here and not much goes on. I mean that in a way that as a 19-year-old girl, I feel comfortable to walk the streets at night or go on hikes alone, and everyone looks out for one another generally. This happened in the summer of 2019, and my boyfriend and I were headed out on a picnic date to a spot we had visited many times before, called Karakariki Track. It's at the end of a very long, windy and rural farm road off of the state highway. So you drive for about 15 to 20 minutes from the main road down a long farm stretch, and at the end is a large cul-de-sac and a massive surrounding farm. The owners of the farm have left the land kind of open to the public as a reserve, because there are native trees and other things, and because about a 15-minute walk from the cul-de-sac car park, there's a small waterfall you can go swimming in. The track is really popular, as it's one of the closest swimming spots to the nearest city, which is Hamilton, and it's really scenic and beautiful. You can cross footbridges and pass by creek beds, etc., and the farmers still go through every now and then to do their work, but there are fenced-off areas that the public can't enter to, as they still actively work the land. So this particular day, my boyfriend and I were really happy, because the parking lot was empty and it was a super hot summer's day, which was really rare. We saw the farmer crossing with his cows through the gate on a quad as we arrived, and he smiled and waved at us. He was an older man, and we had spoken before as we were regular visitors. So we set off towards the waterfall, and crossed one footbridge and passed through a big paddock of cows. Now the track is quite narrow, and the creek is right next to it down a bank, so you have to be careful. We saw the waterfall, decided against swimming as we had no towels, and headed back towards the car park. On our way back, we decided to go down a little bit of a steep gravel off-ramp from the track that led to a more private tree-covered area right by the creek. We were kissing and whatnot, and I was laying on my tummy, reading a book, as my boyfriend was sitting up playing on his phone, rubbing my back and playing with my hair. We were there for about 10 minutes, before I turned and glanced up the gravel path. Way up even further on a hill through one of the farmer's gates, I saw a big man on a quad bike who I didn't recognize as one of the farmers, as there's only an old couple who work the land. But he was just sitting there, staring at my boyfriend and I. I don't even want to think about how long he had been there before we'd noticed, so I told my boyfriend what I could see, making him turn to look too. As soon as the guy saw we were both looking at him, he opened the gate and started heading down towards us. We immediately got up to leave, as we didn't want to have a conversation with a farmer about us getting freaky on his land, which is what we both assumed would happen. But it was so much worse. This guy came down the gravel track and ran his quad right through the creek. He then left it there running in the water and got off. He was talking to himself, saying things along the lines of, "Ah, I've messed my quad," and "I've damaged my engine," over and over before he even got anywhere near us. My boyfriend and I were gathering our things to leave at this point, when he began to head towards us. He didn't even make small talk, which was really strange, because he went straight into saying, "Have you guys seen any fish? I'm looking for some fish to kill." My boyfriend told the guy that there was no fish in the creek as it's fresh water, and that he was probably best off to catch some eel. This sent him into a fit, and he said, "I don't want no effing eel. I want to kill some fish." I had made it a point not to look the guy in the eyes, as I didn't want to draw the conversation towards myself, because I was already extremely freaked out and didn't want him to notice. My boyfriend was much more of the calm and strong one when it came to stuff like this. But for a second I did look at the guy, and I thought it looked like his face was slightly deformed. I thought maybe Bell's palsy. As I work in aged care, I've seen it a bit and it looked similar. I bent down to tie my shoelace, and as I stood back up, that's when I noticed a pistol on this man's waist. Now listen to me closely. This is the first and last time in my entire life I have ever seen a real-life gun, as it's incredibly hard to get a firearm in New Zealand, especially after the regulations following the mass shooting in Christchurch. And not only that, he had one pistol on his belt and was waving another one about in his hand as he talked to my boyfriend about wanting to kill some fish. He was aiming it down to the creek every now and again, then swinging it around on his finger. My boyfriend gave me this stern look, and stern is the best word for it, because the look spoke a million words to me in that moment, and he nodded his head towards the gravel hill leading back to the track. I grabbed the two bags we had, fake-checked my phone and told the man that our family were waiting for us back at the car park. He completely ignored what I had said, though, and instead said, "That's a cool hat you've got on," or something along those lines that were completely irrelevant. So I dismissed myself, said goodbye, and made my way to the hill. In my mind, I didn't want to look back and see that my boyfriend had been shot and then a gun at my own head. I knew that our best bet was me getting up this hill onto the narrow path where he couldn't ride his quad and sprint towards the farmer's house. As I was walking up the hill, this guy said to my boyfriend, "That's a really pretty girl you've got there." It was like all the intentions of his that I didn't want to believe were just then confirmed. I actually felt like I was going to die. My boyfriend, though, said a quick, "Thank you, we'll be off now," and headed up the hill with me. The guy kept talking, though, like the conversation hadn't ended, even as we headed away. He just stood there, gun in hand, and watched us leave. As soon as we were around the corner, we sprinted all the way back to the car park, where there were over 10 empty gun shells. We hadn't noticed this before. We had run into two girls in bikinis arriving at the spot, and informed them about the guy and everything that had just happened, so they got in their cars and left immediately. We tried to go to the farmer's house to ask if he knew the guy, as we'd never seen him on the land before. But they weren't home anymore. And as for the gun, it's still really freaky to me, as I'd never seen one before. but the pistols the guy had looked quite old and rusty, and when we discussed the incident on the way home, my boyfriend suggested they were probably handed down to him from someone else. This incident has stuck with me for the past few years, and my boyfriend and I have not been able to return to that spot again, which really sucks, because that's where we had our first date, and it meant a lot to us. I had to drive past the road leading to the track for about a year too, as I commuted between towns, and it always made me feel sick. I could have lost my life or my partner that day, or so much worse.
Why have I asked my HVAC guy I found on Angie.com to change my grandpa's trachea tube? Because I was so amazed by how quickly he replaced our air ducts. I knew I could trust him to change Pop-Pop's tube while I was on vacation.
Make it quick, young man.
Aw, see? Pop-Pop trusts you.
I think we should call a doctor.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
And I'm always extremely grateful that my boyfriend is the man that he is and was able to steer the guy away from us for us to leave. To communicate to me through movement to tell me what to do in my freaked-out state too. He told me afterwards that he was ready to die if he had to, because knowing the guy had been watching us beforehand and complimented me in the way that he did, was clear that he could have had some scary intentions. It's also made me way more fearful now to travel in the bush alone, which I've done my whole life.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games, and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere, with daily bonuses. So get to ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Save big on your next project at Menards. Check out our huge selection of Richmond water heaters. Whether it's electric or gas, tank or tankless, Menards has what you need in stock. Ensure that you have hot water for when you need it most with a new Richmond water heater from Menards. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big.